Hello and welcome to episode 20 of A Good Book Review, a podcast where we sit down and review a wide variety of books that have been written for a Christian audience. My name is Alex Daniels, and this is Chase Vitor.
Yes, it is. Hello, everyone, and welcome back, as Alex said. Today, we have the honor of sitting down once again with Ministerial Director Nick Rowan and hearing his thoughts on Jonathan Lehman's book, How the Nations Rage. Now, this book was published in early 2018, and it can be bought where most books are sold for an average price hovering right around $20.
Yeah. Like Chase said, Nick Rowan is the Ministerial Director for Adult Discipleship and Outreach on the South Campus of Bethlehem Baptist Church in the Twin Cities. And before that, he studied at Bethlehem College and Seminary. Thank you for joining us, Nick.
Thanks for having me again. Chase, did you get taller?
Yeah.
Since last time we recorded?
Yeah, no, I got taller and your hair got whiter. Opening question on the review. Shots fired right off the bat.
Oh, boy.
Mr. Nick Rowan, what is the main reason that you picked up Jonathan Lehman's book on the first occasion? What prompted you to it?
Yeah, so the reason that I picked this up is we actually went through it as a church staff here at Bethlehem. And so we knew that the election was coming. We're recording this in late 2020.
Yep.
And so the election is, I think it's over.
Yeah, we'll see.
And we could just feel the tension mounting, and we were like, how are we going to help shepherd our people through this? One of our pastors, Pastor Daniel, he's our youth pastor. He's actually a big Jonathan Lehman fan, so he read this. He thought it'd be helpful for us to go through as a staff and just to think about how we're going to shepherd our people through this tumultuous time. Mm-hmm. So that's why we read it, and we all read it together, and then we discussed it at our weekly staff meetings. Mm. So that was so helpful, and I just fell in love with the book.
Yeah.
Okay. How the Nations Rage can be seen as a bold title. What is Jonathan Lehman's reason behind titling it that?
Yeah, so the title is based off of Psalm 2. Mm-hmm. So here's Psalm 2, and then this is what Lehman says about the title in the book. Mm-hmm. So Psalm 2, the beginning of it says, "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us." And then here's what Lehman says: "The division and contention of our present cultural moment is just one more illustration of the nation's rage against the Lord. Division inside the church roots in such rage. The disdain you feel in the media, academy, or courtrooms roots in such rage. The arguments on social media depict this rage. Ironically, news sites even know that rage leads to more clicks. Rage means advertising dollars. If the public square is a battleground of gods, the saints of the church should expect the rage of the nations to burn hot in the square." So that's what he has in mind. Yeah. I mean, he's just looking around and seeing the biblical reality of the nations raging happening right in front of our eyes. And it's particularly in our day and age shown through political disagreements and divisions, and that infiltrates the church. So he just really wants to address that.
That checks out. Nick, I think I probably know the answer to this, but I'd be interested to hear you answer it anyways. Can you give us an idea of who the book is primarily written for?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's written for everybody, who, especially people who might find themselves drawn to politics. You know, it can be easy to kind of get lost in the things that we're passionate about,
right,
and maybe even in an unhealthy way. But it's really for anyone who considers himself a Christian, because it really delves into what is the church, and how should the church think about politics in general, which is something that's applicable for everyone, even no matter what country you live in. You know, there's politics and governments and ways that you relate to those things in other places than America. So I would recommend it for anyone, especially people who are interested in these topics, but it could be beneficial for all Christians.
Yeah. This particular election cycle was pretty unique for me, because I had two very distinct circles of friends. So in the one camp, I had friends who would be just absolutely shocked, and they would ask, "Chase, how could anybody who calls himself a Christian consider voting blue on their ticket? How can anybody consider voting for a Democrat in light of stuff with regard to abortion?" And on the flip side of that, I had friends who would say, "Chase, how could any Christian or somebody who calls himself a Christian consider voting for Donald Trump and all of the character flaws that are associated with him?" And so for me, Jonathan Lehman was really helpful on his podcast with Mark Dever pastor's talk, where he kind of addresses, I think, this book a little bit more in depth. Are you able to think of anything in the book particularly, or would you say that speaks well to those two camps? Because certainly that divide appears to be growing more and more polarized by the year. I guess my question is, are those especially two camps that you'd recommend the book to, and does he speak well to them?
Yeah, absolutely. He has those camps in mind and anyone who falls in between. Mm. And what he talks about, I don't know if this is the time to get into it, but I'm gonna.
Okay.
He talks about in the book this concept of straight line issues versus jagged line issues.
Yeah.
And what he means is that, especially in politics, there are issues that people often back up with biblical principles, right?
Yep.
And so they say, well, I believe this because the Bible says this. And what he says is there are straight line issues that have a completely straight line from biblical principle to political application.
Right.
So like abortion.
Sure.
Murder is wrong, therefore Christians should oppose abortion.
Makes sense.
Right? Yep. It's a straight line issue.
Easy, no ambiguity.
Yep. But then there's jagged line issues. So there are biblical principles like we need to care for the poor, right?
Right.
Okay, well, how do you do that?
Right, practically speaking.
Yep, practically speaking. And Christians are free to
exercise disagreement.
And to have like different convictions on how best to go about that issue. And so the line from biblical principle to application is jagged.
Mm-hmm.
You have to answer a lot more questions on the way, and people can land in different places.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wants to say that on straight line issues, Christians should be in agreement and the church should take stance.
Right, should be unanimous. Yep.
On jagged line issues, there is room for people's consciences. There is room for disagreement, and we have to be gracious to one another and let people believe what they believe and then love one another.
Right.
So that's how he kind of addresses those things and says, "Man, we gotta keep the main things the main thing, and then be gracious."
Amen.
Yeah. When you first read this with the other staff, the staff team, how did you personally grow from reading it?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of ways. I think it created a couple new categories for me in my mind that I hadn't previously considered before. So I used to think that the church should just stay out of politics altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, politics isn't for the church.
Mm-hmm.
And what he hammers home in this book that really kind of blew my mind is that the church is inherently political.
Mm.
Now, what he means isn't American politics. He means is that the church is Christ's emissaries for Christ's kingdom. So we are about the work of building and spreading the kingdom of God. That is political, because what we're doing is contributing to a kingdom. Now, it's not an earthly kingdom, right?
Certainly.
So it's a different kind of politics. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about red versus blue or the president of the United States here. We're talking about the kingdom of the rule and reign of Jesus Christ, which makes the church a political institution, just not in the way that you and I think it is. And so what he talks about that was so helpful for me is the church has one sphere of authority, and then the political thing, the politics of a certain country has a different sphere of authority. And the church's sphere of authority is the kingdom of God, and he's given us as the church the keys of the kingdom, right? It says in Matthew chapter 16 and 18, where we're supposed to guard the gates of the kingdom, and we're supposed to, you know, church membership and practice church discipline and things like that, and to be concerned about the spread of the kingdom of God. That's the church's political authority, the politics of the kingdom of God. And then the government has authority, right? And it's instituted by God, right? We believe that, you know, governments have been raised up by God for purposes, and that's a different sphere of authority. And the problem comes when the church tries to exercise authority in that political sphere, and the government tries to exercise authority in the church's political sphere. And so it was just so helpful to think about the difference between those things and how the church should function and then how it should interact with worldly politics. And he doesn't say you shouldn't interact with it. He doesn't say just remove yourself. He says we need to do it with the correct priorities, primarily not as kingdom, not as members of the kingdom of the earth, but as kingdom heaven. Kingdom of heaven, members of the kingdom of heaven.
Praise God, the preceding election cycle that we've just gone through leading up to the point of recording here has been fairly tumultuous. And in the wake of that, we've experienced a bit of relaxing, I would say, probably as a culture even. There's no more political ads on YouTube. There's no more people giving you phone calls asking which way you're going to vote or anything
Unless
like
you
that.
Live in Georgia.
Unless you live in Georgia, then here comes January. But having said that, I think it might be easy for listeners to hear this and think, okay, this is only important every 4 years or even every 2 years for Senate races and stuff like that. So Nick, the question that Alex and I would be interested to hear you answer would be, is there some veracity to that? Like, would you agree? Or would you say that there's value to this book, even in those years between like 2021, where there's not any serious election cycles?
Yeah, I think there's absolutely value in between. I mean, it's mostly, most obviously applicable when there's an election going on, but politics happens all the time, right? In our country,
right.
There's always some sort of issue. There's some Supreme Court decision that's happening. There's some,
justice being appointed.
Something. Yep. And there's always going to be differences in conscience and belief among the church. And so that, I mean, these applications are really about how do we love our neighbor, right? This is mostly about how do we love people both inside and outside the church that disagree with us, and how do we show Christ's love and show that we're Christians, which is applicable whether there's an election going on or not.
Okay. So you briefly mentioned like how you have red versus blue, but yet there's the people that are kind of in that middle camp, like just split right down the middle. But then sometimes people tend to react, some Christians will basically be like, I don't want to be involved in politics whatsoever.
Right. Just indifference.
Yeah. Like I don't plan on casting my votes. Does Jonathan Lehman address that whatsoever?
He advocates for principled political engagement, but he leaves room for differences even on that. And so, I mean, there's a long Christian history, like in the Anabaptist movement, of just like totally removing from politics in general. And that's not something that he would advocate for, I don't think, in the book. But he says in all of these things, this isn't a primary issue, And so we have to leave room for people's consciences and really just be about the politics of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus Christ is Lord. We're members of that kingdom. He's coming again to rule and to reign. So get in that kingdom.
Whether the believer appears to be especially politically engaged, or as Alex was just describing, politically apathetic, everybody has opinions, obviously. So the question here would be, how imperative is it, or is that a good reason that believers ought to read the book, because necessarily there's going to be disagreement in opinion?
Yeah, I think so. Because again, I mean, so like in our church, I'll just take our specific church as an example. There's people who disagree on all sorts of different things, not first tier issues. We all agree on who Jesus is, and what the Bible is, and the core tenets of Christianity. But we have other disagreements about the culture, about politics, about things like that. And the thing is that we have to love each other as a family. Like, that's not up for grabs. Paul tells us that we need to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We don't create that unity. We need to maintain it. So how in the world do we do that when we disagree with one another? And this book is just super helpful in helping us to think through our priorities and think through ways to do that where we can maintain that unity.
Okay. What would you say are some like prerequisites that someone should have ahead of time reading this book? Like, what should they go into like understanding before they read it?
I mean, it'd be helpful if you had a general understanding of how the government worked, but you don't need to. I'd say that this is a pretty widely accessible book that any Christian could pick up and benefit from, regardless of if you're, a state senator or not.
Presumably also this book isn't proprietary to American politics, correct? Like, you could be a Canadian and still benefit from this, or?
Sure. You just have to transport your own political system into it. But the principles are universal because they're biblical.
Right.
That's the thing. And that's really what he's trying to do, is bring the Bible and the definition of the church and the authority of the church to bear in a universal way that can apply, anywhere.
Outside of the realm of politics, were there any other lessons that you expect people are going to be able to learn by reading this book from Lehman?
Oh yeah, I think that the straight line versus jagged line thing is widely applicable outside of politics.
Yeah, I agree.
So, what happens when you have a disagreement about a third tier theological issue, like eschatology, or something like that.
Just talking about that.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And is it, that's not a straight line theological
certainly,
issue.
Certainly, yeah.
There's room for disagreement. It's not a salvation issue. And so it's just a helpful way to think about the tiers of importance with even within Christian theology.
Mm.
What can we disagree on and what can we not disagree on?
Right.
And I think that's just a helpful principle in general. Man, mm-hmm. this is a jagged line issue that has all sorts of different questions that relate to it. And there is freedom for disagreement, even while maintaining the unity of the Spirit.
Mm.
And so that can be applied in, 100 different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So last question to wrap it up. What sort of time investment or mental application should a person have to get the most out of this book?
Yeah, I think it's pretty accessible for everyone. He writes in a real conversational tone. Mm-hmm. He uses stories, personal examples. He keeps the reader engaged. And it's really encouraging. So anybody can pick this book up and read it. It's not that long. It's just a little bit over like 220 pages or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be able to fly through it pretty quick. And it's worth it.
When I initially saw the book when we got here, I have not read How the Nations Rage yet. When I saw it, I was surprised because I thought that I had heard a podcast from Lehman Endeavor where they talk about it being a thinner little booklet. And it was only in retrospect that I recalled that was actually a separate book entirely, which was written with Nick, one of your old professors, Andy Naselli. Presumably you haven't read that one, have you, Nick?
No, that's called How Can I Love Church Members with Different Politics?
Right.
And that's a separate book, and it was written after this one.
Okay.
I think it's got a lot of the same
principles
in it. I think it has a special emphasis on a person's conscience.
Oh, okay.
And having to follow your conscience and not violating, your conscience. And,
right.
And specifically pastors mm-hmm. not telling their people what to do so as to violate their conscience.
Right.
That's a bad thing.
yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's why Andy Naselli was involved in that mm-hmm. book, because he's written a separate book on the conscience.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Huh?
Yeah. So he's kind of an expert in that area.
I remember specifically, too, on that podcast where they discussed it, they talked about, obviously, Naselli being involved here at Bethlehem. Bethlehem has become pretty widely acknowledged or widely known in some controversy as far as just being a biblically Christian church because of their opposition to abortion. And so I know that was definitely part of the podcast was them talking about, how do you talk to church members who are still voting for that? Like, I think one of the questions that I really liked that was asked by, I think it was Dever. He said, would you take somebody out of membership from your church because they voted blue? And in a word, it necessarily answered no, but of course they talk more on that. So that was super, super cool. Anyways, didn't mean to sneak in a bonus question there, but it did happen.
It's another book you got to review sometime.
I guess so, yeah. Which hopefully that one, being smaller, won't take quite as long. But that is all the time that we have for today. And Nick, we just want to, once again, for the third time that we've had you on here, just want to say we are incredibly grateful for you and for the wisdom that you bring to the podcast. Very appreciative of that.
So. Love you guys.
Yeah, love you too, man.
If any of our listeners are interested in hearing more from you, where can we send them off to?
Yeah, you can go to our church website, bethlehem.church, and click on the South Campus, and I'll be in the staff directory. Feel free to reach out there.
Yeah, is it cool if I also plug, Nick's got some really good stuff on Desiring God, too, if you're willing to look at some of his articles on there. Nick is a solid author for some blogs there.
You're too kind, Chase.
I've referred many friends of mine there before. Yeah, if you enjoyed hearing from Nick on today's podcast and you haven't previously, feel free to jump back to episodes 4 and 11, where Nick reviewed respectively John Piper's Desiring God and Joe Rigney's The Things of the Earth,
Yep. And as always, if you're interested in reaching out to get in touch with myself or Chase, please feel free to email us at agoodbookreviewpodcast@gmail.com. And also our Instagram, correct me if I'm wrong, I might botch this. I'm not very familiar with Instagram, guys, but it's .good.book.review.
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, got it right. Sweet.
Good job, Alex. Way to go, man. Okay. Alex is our director of social media, so we'll get him on that. Thanks so much for listening, guys. Appreciate it. We'll be back again with episode 21 shortly.